Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
And welcome here, everybody. It's so nice to see everyone here. In Afrikaans, as I could say, like the words of Omhoog, dis lekker hier. So yeah, welcome here today. And like Brian said, I'm Stefan, for anyone who doesn't know me. And this is my lovely wife here in front. But yeah, before I speak too much, let me pray for us, and then we can dive into the sermon. Yes, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much, Lord, for who you are, Lord. Lord, thank you that we can look to you as our King and our Father. Lord, thank you that we can declare our dependency upon you, Lord. Lord, thank you for your leading, Lord. Your Lord, thank you for your grace and your forgiveness. Thank you for your presence here today, Lord. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, like I say, it's lekker to be here this morning. And this morning I'm going to speak about a topic that is well known. The general topic of obedience, like you can say. And whether you've applied it to your boss or to your parents, but mostly I really hope that you've applied this topic onto God. And so today I'm going to speak about obedience specifically towards God, the creator of our universe, the King on the throne, the barrier of the carrier of our sins, and our Savior, which, by the way, Jesus did not need to do. We did not, what's the right word? Yeah, we did not, sorry. Yeah, we did not deserve for him to carry our sins. But yet he came and he did it anyway. So before we start to speak about the obedience, I just want to take a step back and speak about something that leads to obedience. And I want to do that by looking at two scriptures here. And the first one will be a teaching from Jesus towards his disciples later on in John 14 verse 21. And it says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he is who loves me. In 1 John 5 verse 3, it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So from these two scriptures, we can clearly see that obedience towards God, if we say we are a Christian that loves Jesus, is a non-negotiable. If you want to call yourself a Christian, obedience will flow from that. You cannot negotiate with that. And it is not something that you will do. I will be obedient while I'm with Christians. I will be obedient when I feel like it. No, it is always and above and beyond. So now that we have a little bit of background, that from love for God, obedience will flow. I want to take us a little bit back to the last three sermons of Brown, and I want to look at the three sermons and I want to extract three examples from them. And then through the rest of the sermon, I want us to look at these three examples and ask ourselves the question, are we obedient in these aspects? So our first example is, are we patiently reproving, rebuking, exhorting, and teaching? This can be anything from having a difficult discussion with someone or handling offense that might be in our heart, or even spreading the gospel, preaching the word where we go. So our second example is laying down our own desires. And as Brown beautifully preached, that our own desires is the opening for false teaching. And it can even be an opening for the enemy to come plant lies in our heart. And our third example is forgiveness. This is not specifically something Brown spoke about, but he spoke about the gospel, and forgiveness, for me, I believe, is the best way for us to apply the gospel in our lives. So now that we have those three examples that I want us to look at, I want to share a bit on obedience and how God prepped me through this time and prepping the sermon by giving you a short testimony of something that happened about 2 weeks ago. I woke up from a dream that really made me felt uncomfortable, and I sat that morning, went through my morning routine of quiet time, and I wanted to go cycle, but I sat there that morning. And I'm like, God, what does this dream mean? And I couldn't find rest in that. But so I put on my cycling clothes and I went for a cycle, because I say I'm gonna go, and my yes is my yes. So I went, and for those who know where the mine road is, I went onto the mine road. And as I turned left onto the mine road, I just felt this total uncomfortable, being uncomfortable of riding my bicycle today. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to turn around. So I turned around, and as I turned around, God came and revealed to me this dream. The dream has no relevance to the sermon today, but as I turned around, God came and revealed it to me. I was like, whoa, it's quite significant. And I thought by myself, okay, I'm going to turn around, I'll go and cycle somewhere in Secunda, maybe around some of the roads. And as I turned left here in Nelson Mandela, God told me, Stephen, I didn't make you turn around to go cycle further in Secunda. I made you turn around to go home. And as God showed me that and told me that, I was like, but God, and then I realized, what am I busy doing here? I'm on my way to start negotiating with God about what He tells me what to do. Negotiating with God to be obedient is a sin. Disobedience to God is a sin. So in 1 Samuel 2, we read the following, and you're going to see on the board, it says 2 Samuel. Just note, I made a mistake there. It's supposed to be 1 Samuel. So in 1 Samuel 2, we read about Eli and his two sons who are priests in the temple. And Eli's two sons did some bad things. For one, they took the best of the offerings from Israel, and they kept it for themselves. The other thing they did is they slept around with women in the church. And Eli was convicted to go speak to his two sons. But he was passive. He was delaying on being obedient towards God. And then a man of God came to speak to Eli. And the Bible doesn't clearly say who it was, but it says a man of God. And he said the following in 1 Samuel 2 verse 29 to 30. Why then do you scorn my sacrifices and my offerings that I commanded, and honor your sons above me by fattening yourselves on the choicest parts of every offering of my people Israel? Therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promised that your house and the house of your father should go in and out before me forever. But now, the Lord declares, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor. For those who despise me, shall be lightly esteemed. There's quite a radical truth here, and that is that if we do not obey God immediately, we think lightly of who He is. We think lightly of His commands and what He calls us to do. In Luke 14, we read about the banquet and the master that sends his servants into the city to go call people, to come enjoy this banquet with him. But the people have so many excuses. And whether some of those excuses might be good excuses, it was keeping them away from the call of God. So with whatever, if whatever takes place, whatever you're busy with, take precedence over what God calls you to do and being obedient towards Him. That is sin. Even if it looks good, it can look amazing. If it is not what God told you to do, it is sin. In James 4, verse 17, it says, "So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." So that brings us to our first point today, and that is obey God immediately, non-negotiable. So my question is, where is God calling you today? What has God told you to do today that you are busy delaying? A.W. Tozer has a beautiful quote, and I'm going to read it to us. And he said, "Whatever keeps me from my Bible is my enemy, however harmless it may appear to me. Whatever keeps me from God is my enemy." In Psalm 190, verse 60, it says, "I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments." Are we being immediate in our obedience to have that hard conversations? Are we being immediate to go sort out our offense? Are we being immediate to lay down our own desires? Are we being immediate to forgive those who trespassed against us? And yes, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's really, really hard. And I'm going to read for us here the part of Abraham and when God came to speak to Abraham about Isaac, because it's such a beautiful example of how obedience should look like. So in Genesis 22, verse 1 to 3, it says, "After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham?' And he said, 'Here I am.' And God said, 'Take your son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.' So Abraham arose early the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place which God told him." Are we reading this correctly? The first time I read this, I was like, am I reading this right? God told him to go offer his son, and what did he do? He rose early the next morning. Not early after 2 years, after debating, should I do this or not? Early the morning. And I'm sure, as soon as he heard that, he was like, "Yes, my Lord, am I hearing this correct?" Because just before that, we read about Sodom and Gomorrah, and one of the big sins that Sodom and Gomorrah did is they sacrificed their children. And now God is telling him, and I'm sure Abraham heard about Sodom and Gomorrah, and God, am I hearing this correctly? But he was obedient to God more than anything else. He was immediate in what he wants to what he needed to go do. And a similar moment in the Bible that I read was, and I'm sure, and I'm gonna take you through this, and it might be for you also a moment if we read through it systematically, but. Or if I tell the story systematically, because we tend to read the whole story in scripture and we're like, okay, this made sense. I would have been obedient to this as well. But the story of Joshua that needed to go to Jericho, and God told him to go blow your trumpets. Go 7 days in a row. Go blow your trumpets. Walk around Jericho. And the seventh day, do it 7 times. And after that, yell loudly. Huh? I mean, it doesn't make sense at all. Like it's a, and I'm sure he was also like, yeah, I've blown my trumpet now a couple of times in my life, but nothing ever happened besides music. I mean, nothing that helped war. But Joshua was obedient in that, and they took their trumpets and they went and blowed it. And even afterwards, they shouted loudly. And we all know what happened after that. So that leads us to our second point today. Obey God, even if it doesn't make sense. So my question is, where in your life today are you saying, yes, but God, this thing you're telling me doesn't make sense. Come make sense to me. Come make it sense for me before I obey. Where are we busy negotiating with God to come make it sense for us? In Proverbs 3 verse 5 it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Does it always make sense to go have that difficult conversation with someone? Does it always make sense to go sort out the offense in your heart because I may feel like this? Yes, but God, I cannot go speak to that guy at work. I'm gonna ruin that whole temporary relationship that I have with him or her. Does it always make sense to lay down your dreams and your desires down? I mean, one of the biggest sins that the world, one of the biggest lies that the world comes and feeds us is just hold on to your dreams and follow them with everything you have and it shall happen. Just never give up. That is not what the Bible tells us. Does it make sense to forgive someone for when they trespassed against you? Well, Jesus is a great example, forgiving the people that was busy crucifying him while they were doing it. And before we say, yeah, but he was God, and Jesus could do that because he was God, Stephen did the same thing in Acts. While they were busy stoning him, he said, forgive them, Lord, for they do not know what they are doing. And sometimes being obedient to God really doesn't make sense. And I'm going to tell you a quick testimony because there was also no benefit in this. But before I got saved, I liked to go out. I liked to drink and I liked to go out. And I went always with the preemptive idea to I'm gonna gooi tonight. I'm gonna get lekker drunk. And in that time, I started to really enjoy socking, but I could only socky if I had a paar happe in, you understand? So then my feet became a little bit loose and I could socky. And I started to really enjoy the socky thing and then I got saved and I was like, okay, I know drinking is out, but Lord, I can still go out. I'm still going to go to Impala, that's a place in Potchefstroom for those who know, and I'm still going to go and socky. And I did that, and I still went out. And I sat with this thing of, yes, God, why am I still struggling with lust so much? And I'm also now a new creation. That's what your word says, I'm new. Why am I still struggling with this thing? And God come and showed me. He's like, Stephen, you asked me, do not lead me into temptation. That's what I ask of him. And here I go. I'm going out into a place where there's women that basically wears underwear. And I ask God, do not lead me to temptation. And I had to lay that down and it was really difficult. And another couple of examples that I can testify about is that's difficult and it doesn't make sense to be obedient towards is loving your enemies. Is to be home at 10 when your parents tell you to be home at 10. That does not make sense at all. Or to drive 60. I mean, who does that? But another person's obedience that I really want to talk about that doesn't make sense, where there was no benefit for them whatsoever, is Esther. So for those of us who doesn't know the story of Esther, she was the queen to the king, and she had to go to the king and plead with him for Israel's lives. But this king was a really self-serving, rough guy. I mean, if you came in front of him without the correct approval, he will just kill you there and then. Or if he didn't like the thing that you want approval for, that he will just kill you. So here Esther, picture this, Esther, that was the queen, and no benefit at all going to speak to the king. She had everything she wanted. She was living in the palace. She had all the money. She had everything she wanted. But you know that if she's being obedient towards this, there's the possibility that she might die. Why would she do that? There can only be one explanation to this. She had a holy fear of God. So this brings us to our third point. Obey God, even if you cannot see the personal benefit. Are you someone that says, yes, God, I will. I'm here. I will run. But it doesn't make sense. What do I get out of this? God, I will do this only if I'm seen or only if I can make a quick buck out of this. Are you someone that uses God as a vending machine? Matthew 16 verse 25 says, "For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Does it always look like there's benefit into go speaking to someone about a hard conversation? Does it always look beneficial to go sort out the offense? Does it always look beneficial to lay down your own dreams and desires? Absolutely not. Does it always look beneficial to forgive someone who trespassed against you? But we are called to lose our lives for Christ's sake. We are called to lose our life for the sake of being obedient towards Him. When we look at Jesus, what benefit was there to go die on the cross, to go endure the cross? What benefit was there to experience that tremendous physical pain? What benefit was there to carry the world's sins, anxiety, depression on himself? What benefit was there that the Father was separated from him? But Jesus still willingly, knowing all of this, willingly obeyed the Father and what the Father told him to do. And he went and he endured that suffering. Philippians 1 verse 29 says, "For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake." 1 Peter 4 verse 1 says, "Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourself with the same way of thinking." We can look at any of the apostles' lives, and I think we all can agree that none of them were a walk in the park. So when we want to call ourselves Christians, when we want to call ourselves, tell ourselves that we love God, I want us to ask ourselves, am I willing to suffer for the sake of Christ in this world? John 15 verse 20 says, "Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teachings, they will also obey yours." Here the Bible clearly says that if we are Christians and we are doing what we are called to do, the world will persecute us. So now I want to ask you a question. If you are not being persecuted today at this stage, are you being obedient to what God called you to do? I'm not saying that we must have this anxiety and depression all the time, but the Bible clearly says that Christians, we are not going to have a life of comfort and pleasure. But, there's luckily a but to this. while we are experiencing this pain and suffering, the Bible also says that we, as children of God, will always have a place to go. In Proverbs 14 verse 26 it says, "In the fear of the Lord there is a strong confidence, and His children will have a place of refuge." How beautiful is that? So this leads us to our fourth point. Obey God, even if it is painful. And we have heard Brown this last couple of weeks preach about in 1-2 Timothy 4. And he said, there was a couple of times that it was said, endure the suffering. Do the works of an evangelist. Paul encouraged Timothy, fight the good fight. Finish the race. Forgive, even if it is painful. A great example of maybe what not to look at and what not to do is Saul. So Saul started off very well, and he started off doing what God told him, but little by little he started to be disobedient. And in the beginning you might even be able to argue, oh, that wasn't too bad. Well, it wasn't too rough. But it went worse and worse, and there's one specific instance of Saul that I really want to speak about, and that is where God called Saul to go to the Amalekites. And God told him to go wipe out the Amalekites, kill every man, woman, child, everything, every animal. Go kill it all, go wipe it out. And as a typical man, Saul went and only listened to half of the thing that God told him to do, and he was like, I will improvise the rest of it. You know, I'm sure I understand what God wants to do. And Saul bring back King Agag. I think that's how you say his name in English. And he brought him back to keep him as a prisoner. And it might look very like, yo, this guy has so much grace and he's so nice. But he actually brought him back as a trophy. He brought back the cream of the crop of the animals to sacrifice for God. But God looked past these actions of Saul. And he looked past that and he looked at his heart. And he sent Samuel to speak to Saul, and Samuel said the following in 1 Samuel 15 verse 22 to 23. He said, "And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He has also rejected you from being king." Are we obedient to what God calls us? So this takes us to our fifth point. Obey God to completion. Endure in obedience. Persevere in your obedience. Is there maybe a coffee that you were to have, that you are busy putting out, that you are very disobedient towards? Is there a coffee where a conversation was maybe left in thin air? Was there a conversation that wasn't really finished yet? Are we being obedient in completion? The world teaches us that 50% is a pass. That's good. If you have 50, you're sharp. That was my philosophy in university. I'm 50, I'm good. Now let's go. God doesn't call us for a 50%. Or are we overachievers and we say, like, I obey to 80%. That's a distinction. That's good. I will promofeer my degree. No. God calls us to 100%. And don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying God calls you to be perfect. But God calls you to endure and to complete. Obedience is a non-negotiable. Obedience is a non-negotiable if you want to say that, oh, I love Jesus. Obedience is not a bad thing. Obedience is a beautiful thing that leads us closer to God's heart, to more intimacy with Him. Is it important for you today to be obedient to what God calls you to be? So I have a couple of reflective questions here, and I really want to encourage you to not only go and speak about it here, but really after you spoke to your husband or your wife or a friend about these points, to pray about them. And don't use the excuse today, but I can go pray at home, it is fine. I just quickly want to get a coffee and then go. Take the time. God is here. He wants to work with you now. Be obedient to that. God laid something on your heart today to speak about your wife or a friend. Take the time. Pray about it. Lay it at God's feet. While you are busy with that, they're going to distribute communion as well. So while you're praying through this, pray and for the communion as well. So I'm going to go through the reflective questions that I want you to really dig a bit deeper into today. The first one is, when last did you preach the Word of God outside of church and small group? The second one, is there a hard conversation or some offense that you have to deal with that you've set aside and delayed being obedient towards that? And the third question I have here today is there anyone that God shows you to forgive? Because not doing so is disobedience and sinful. I want us to talk about this, and like I say, talk to the friend, someone that came with you. Talk to your spouse and pray through these things. But let me pray for us, and then you can turn to one another. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you that you come and speak to us. Thank you that you come and reveal. Thank you, Jesus, for your body that was crucified, that was broken. That your blood came and cleansed us from our sins. Lord, may we be obedient today, but may we also be obedient in our lives forward. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. And thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.